Welcome to the Mattcast. This is a podcast that strives to bring the church world and the art world just a little closer together. I'm Matt Anderson, and I want to thank you for joining us. Many of us haven't worked since the middle of March. Some have done their work from home, at least for a while, but I would venture to say that probably the majority of those listening to me today find themselves just plain idle. Now, I don't mean the evil thing you worship, IDLE, meaning just sitting there. That's a bad place for us to be. I mean, you can only watch so much Netflix and Amazon Prime. And as great as it is to cherish our families and spend more quality time with them than maybe ever, something is missing. We're feeling unfulfilled. There's just a piece that isn't there, and that unfulfillment often can lead to things like depression and anxiety and worry and fear and all those awful things that mess with our heads. There's a new poll from the Kaiser Family Foundation that found that nearly half of the respondents said their mental health was being harmed by the coronavirus pandemic. Almost half. And to me, that number only gets higher with each passing day that we are shut down. And even though things are opening up again, and depending on what state you're listening to, that process may be done. Some will not have started. Some will be in process. But many people just want to go back to work. They just want to make a living for their family. But there are disincentives to going back to work right now. I mean, the recently passed CARES Act from Congress and signed by the president, it expanded unemployment benefits to $600 a week for everyone who applied. And according to Ryan Gina of Forbes.com, the benefit was designed to bring total federal and state unemployment benefits up to the average median weekly wage. But the New York Times reports that, quote, workers in more than half of states will receive, on average, more in unemployment benefits than their normal salaries. Now, we know that some have been trying for weeks to get unemployment, and they still haven't gotten through the red tape of it. But others are starting to wonder if maybe this is the kind of life they want to lead. Getting paid more to stay at home than to work. Now, recently on Vice TV, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she recently took issue with President Trump equating work with liberation. And I think she was speaking for low-income earners, but she said, we're not going back to working 70-hour weeks just so that we can put food on the table and not feel any sort of semblance of security in our lives. And so she was urging people in that column to not go back to work even when things open up. So what do we do with all this? Do we go back or don't we? As a Christian, the foundation of my life is found in the Bible. It's found in the life of Christ. It's found in the mandates and instructions of Scripture. It is the standard of faith and conduct for my existence. So I want to use both Old and New Testaments to find an answer. And let's go back almost to the very beginning in Genesis chapter 3. This is shortly after Adam and Eve both committed what we call the original sin, and from eating from the forbidden tree as a result of the temptation given to them by the serpent, who we know was Satan. And in verse 17 The Lord is now laying out corrective measures because of this. Because they have sinned, they can no longer remain in the Garden of Eden, which is this place of perfect fellowship and worship. They have opened up Pandora's box, and now the Lord must protect this place and prevent them from eating from the tree of life, which would guarantee just their eternal corruption in their soul. And so the Lord says in verse 17, to the man, that's Adam, he said, since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow, you will have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. Now, this was certainly God's discipline for their disobedience. But the implication is that food would be readily available in Eden, or at least with minimal effort, before this happened. In other words, it was just there for the taking. They weren't really required to labor, and whatever labor they did was going to produce a bumper crop with almost next to no energy put behind it. But now, God's creation would have to work in order to eat. And this is what he's telling Adam. It's going to be against the grain. You're going to have to till the soil. You're going to really have to put your back into it. All your life, you will struggle to scratch a living. And a lot of you out there are probably saying amen, especially my artist friends. And the way we till the soil and the way that we struggle to scratch a living looks different from person to person, but we all know how that feels. And so now man must work to eat. But when we wake up early to go to our job, our body obviously says, oh, I wish I didn't have to work. But if you agree with me, when that work day is over, and it could be a bad day at the office or whatever, but still there is this sense of fulfillment about the work that we've done. And I think it's because it is now how we have been wired by God post-Garden of Eden to today. So when we do things that we are wired to do by God, it brings us joy. I think whether that's obeying him, whether that's worship, you name it. And so even though we look at this as a corrective measure, it doesn't mean that it's something to be avoided. This is now what we must do according to the Lord. But even with that correction, the Lord gives us a sense of joy and fulfillment when we do it. So when you come home after a hard day of work, or you close your computer down after a hard day of work, or you finally put down the brushes, or you put aside the sheet music after you've been laboring over something you're creating all day, there is a sense that we have put in maximum effort for the day, and we don't know what the results necessarily will be, but we derive joy and pleasure from it, and I think that's because it comes ultimately from the Lord. So now let's do New Testament. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul writes this to the church in Thessalonica in Greece. He says in verse 6, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we give you this command in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from all believers who live idle lives and don't follow the tradition they received from us. For you know that you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you. We never accepted food from anyone without paying for it. We worked hard day and night so we could not be a burden to any of you. We certainly had the right to ask you to feed us, but we wanted to give you an example to follow. Even while we were with you, we gave you this command: those unwilling to work will not get to eat. Yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and meddling in other people's business." That's what you do when you're not working. You got to fill the time with something. "We command such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and work to earn their own living. As for the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good." Well, there's Old and New Testament. And wow, Paul could not have been clearer in 2 Thessalonians. Scripturally, I would say it doesn't really matter what the numbers say. Even if you make more on unemployment than employment, you will be doing great spiritual and emotional harm to yourself if you do not work. There are ways to advance. You're not stuck in that job forever. There are other jobs that will pay us more if we are a valuable employee. We're not relegated to one job for the rest of our lives. And many of us in the art world, we obviously have to have side hustles just to make it work, because it's hard to make a living creatively. So we know this. And there are always opportunities that lead to better opportunities that then will help us to create even more. And yeah, working a 70-hour week, if that happens, is brutal. And I pray that churches could just rally to help those families with benevolence and financial planning, or even childcare to help those who are in that situation. Working 70-hour weeks and making six figures is equally as damaging and does spiritual and physical harm to us. So when the time comes, let's get back to work. Regardless of what work is, when it's time, let's get back to work, because it's how we are wired by God. Listening to PBN, the Prosperity Broadcasting Network.
Friends, this is your frontline warrior for God, the Reverend Curtis V. Sloan from Sloan Holy Anointing Ministries, coming to you today with an urgent need. As you know, the devil, he's been giving all of us an unholy headlock with this Corona COVID Wuhan 19 thing. And we have certainly been feeling the pinch here at Sloan Holy Anointing Ministries, as we have been unable to do crusades and manufactured performance healings for almost 2 months now. We want to thank you for your faithfulness in giving regularly to this ministry. But I must tell you today, dear friends, that an urgent need has arisen, and we need our faith and finance warriors to come together to fight back the enemy right now. Many of our friends and supporters have been asking about our most recent crusade to Mauritania. That's right. Tens of thousands were present in their soccer stadium in the capital city, whose name I cannot recall. The altars were flooded every night with healings and deliverances all over the place. Many of you have been asking to see the video footage from it, and as soon as we remember our Google Drive password, we'll get it to you. Others have been asking about our recent outreach to Las Vegas, and as you remember, we asked each of you to commit an extra $21, 21 being the best score in blackjack, for our ministry there. And once again, you responded. And I know many of you, you have desired to see photos and videos of our services there, and hopefully the Bellagio will give us the permission to show those, but you know how it goes in Las Vegas. Well, as you know, you have all blessed us so much with a beautiful plane dedicated to Curtis V. Sloan and Sloan Holy Anointing Ministries. It has allowed me to go around the world and take the good news of personal prosperity to the poorest people on the planet. I've had the privilege of telling people who live in absolute squalor that maybe one day they too can have enough faith to have a plane like the one you blessed me with.
Oh, but I must tell you, my friend, that the plane is down. The plane is down. We have been grounded. Our beloved ministry jet has finished the race. It has kept the faith. It has given up the ghost, and it is no more. So this is where you come in. Oh, this is a desperate, desperate hour. We are in need of a new Gulfstream jet. Now, through some investigation and Googling, we have found a jet that we believe will last us well into the next presidential election. The cost is $6 million, which sounds like an insurmountable sum, but not from where I'm standing, sir. The same God who multiplied loaves and fishes to feed hungry followers is the same who wants me to go to spiritually hungry people and arrive in style. What better way to show the bigness of our God than the bigness of my plane? So here's what I'm asking you to do, my fellow warriors. I'm going to ask you to devote your tithe, that 10% of income, to your local church and use it as a seed faith gift into Sloan Holy Anointing Ministries. We are asking for 3 months of tithe to help us get back in the air again. In doing this, we will pray and believe that the Lord will more than make up for the gap in your home church. Now, many of you have written to see if I would come by your bedside to pray for your heart catheterization or other procedure. Unfortunately, time does not allow. And besides, your local pastor is more equipped to do that hospital counseling funeral stuff. My calling is on a broader scale, and your 3-month tithe seed faith gift will ensure that Sloan Holy Anointing Ministries is representing the kingdom accurately around the world. We're not going to let some stupid virus keep us down. I am the head and not the tail. Forget COVID-19. I've got Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And believe me, I need this plane. Dear friend, oh please, please don't make me fly coach again. I can't do it. I tell you, I can't do it. Please mail your check today to Sloan Holy Anointing Ministries. Now that's pretty long, so you can just abbreviate it as SHAM. And we know it will get to the right place. Oh, thank you again, faithful friends. Until next time, I will see you there or in the air. So long for now.
Since we're talking about the importance of work in this episode, let me just give a specific word to artists in relation to work. Well, first, let me speak to those outside the creative world who love to tell artists to, quote, get a real job. I just want to say this loudly and clearly. A real job is following the calling of God for our lives, not living your life. God does call some to be creative on a full-time basis. It's not an easy road. It is certainly not made easier by, yes, well-meaning people who equate creativity to laziness. Creativity is work. And if you have ever done anything creative, you know how much effort goes into it. Let's go back to Genesis for a moment. God spends the first 6 days of biblical time doing nothing but creating. And he creates mainly by speaking things into existence, which is phenomenal if you take the time to think about that. After the 6 days, he stopped on the seventh day. Look, not because he was physically wiped out, because he's God, so that doesn't happen to him. He knew that we would be needing that rest and that it was going to be an important ingredient in our life. And so he was setting an example for his people, his creation. And we need rest from our work. And God showed us that that also includes creative work. Creativity is work, but it looks different. It looks different than staff meetings or quarterly reports or Zoom conferences or landscaping or roofing. There is always a spiritual resistance to creating. I think that's why it is so hard. Because our spiritual enemy hates anything that God does. Satan cannot create. He only perverts, he only counterfeits what is created. So anytime we endeavor to do anything creative, we have to anticipate resistance. Especially when what is being created ultimately glorifies the Lord. Oh my. Then without his strength, it will never get done. Now, add to this the fact that many types of creative work take a substantial amount of time. I mean, months and years can be spent writing a novel or crafting a sculpture or making a film or composing a symphony. It is sometimes painstaking and exhaustive work. It's just a different kind of work. But boy, it leaves us tired. It's certainly not like working construction, and God bless those folks. It's not like being a salesman or a teacher. We may be working on the same thing for a significant amount of time, and that really cannot compute in our economy, especially since the Industrial Revolution, since mass production. Some artists, yep, they're more prolific than others, but again, artists have their own pace. They have their own work ethic. As long as they can sustain it with supporters or patrons or fans or whoever you want to call that, enough people generate interest in it that allows them to stay in the creative work. So artists, you know this, but let me remind you, develop a creative work ethic that is not an oxymoron in a sentence. I know sometimes we need firm deadlines to kind of externally motivate us, but hopefully we can get to a place of self-motivation where the creative is inside out. It's not outside in. Where we just steadily create and fine-tune so that we can actually enjoy this process. Yep, creativity is work. Therefore, if we're not careful, it may not be enjoyable. I think it's what leads artists to self-harm. Creativity isn't cheapened by applying a healthy work ethic to it. It doesn't water it down. Get a space to create consistently. Find times in your schedule to consistently create, especially if you're doing this part-time. Set goals for yourself on the calendar for your project, because it's not going to be emotionally inspirational very often. Really, like anything else, it's roll up your sleeves and get her done. You get that initial idea and you start knocking it off the ground and it's exciting, but within hours sometimes or days, it becomes a bit more laborious and you just have to choose to plow. like Adam, you still have to work the ground and till the soil in order to make a living. That's okay. It's how we're wired. And yeah, creating can be very lonely at times. So please bring God into your process. So at the start of your creative session, before you start on your computer, before you pick up a brush, before you pick up your instrument, may I urge you to pray to the Lord, the God of all creation, and say, Lord, speak, write, inspire through me. I, Lord, am your instrument. May we never take God out of the process. With him out of it, it's all a waste. So it may be quality over quantity when it comes to creative work, but as long as you are going at God's pace, just know it will ultimately glorify him. And I pray you have people around you who recognize it as well. Well, we appreciate you being a part of the MacCast. Our music is by Sound of Fusion. We hope to see you again soon. This has been a production of Monumental Ministries. For more info, go to mattministry.com. Hey, thanks for having me over. I had a wonderful time.